It's almost as though time progresses for everyone at a similar speed.
Yeah.
Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 120, and we are jumping off of X-Men the anime on Netflix, not X-Men the animated series, which we'll probably end up talking about anyway.
Yeah, because that's the one that, you know, at least I personally grew up with and love and watched a million times. Because it came on Fox in the afternoon.
Yeah, I didn't have it on Fox in the afternoons, but I still saw it.
Yeah.
And the anime, it was a very anime take on the X-Men. If you enjoy anime and X-Men, you will not be disappointed. Were you disappointed?
No, not at all, actually. I thought it was kind of refreshing because, you know, Trish and I are watching back through the old X-Men animated series right now. It's one of those things where if we don't have anything else to watch, we've caught up on WandaVision, we've done everything else, you know, we'll just put on a couple episodes and it's like candy, you know, they're 15, 20 minutes and you can watch a couple and you're good. So getting to watch the anime was actually a really nice change of styles, because that 80s series is very much an 80s series.
Yeah.
You know, very kind of cheesy wooden dialogue. It's not really, you know, the action is hit or miss. The anime, I thought the anime was actually really good. I would watch a lot more of that.
Yeah. Now, for anybody familiar with the X-Men knows that the X-Men is always an allegory for some sort of civil rights struggle, whether race or sexual preference or whatever it is. It's an allegory for whatever civil rights struggle they're depicting at the time. And it was interesting because it seemed like the allegory for the anime was neurodiversity and possibly autism. At least that's what I took out of it.
Yeah, because of the whole Damon Hall syndrome thing.
Yeah, yeah, and it was definitely a Japanese take on it. Whether or not it was written by Japanese people, I don't know. Netflix did it. It probably was not. But it seemed like a Japanese take on autism rights. It was refreshing in that as well, and topical to, you know, where we are currently.
I mean, so this wasn't done for Netflix because I did a little research on it.
Okay.
Was actually done for, this originally came out on G4 back in, like, 2011. So this is 10 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we did bring it out of a cupboard.
We did. The cupboard of G4, which apparently is a network that's coming back, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about that quite yet. It had its time, and I don't think that its time is now.
I mean, I kind of agree. I think it's
The world's a little too woke for G4 right now.
Yeah, and I also think that, I mean, it's going to... So originally, I mean, you know, G4, they actually did some cutting-edge stuff, and they did some kind of out-of-left-field stuff.
Right.
And it really was like a nerd channel programmed by nerds, which was nice.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think the original people will be running it, and I think it's going to be kind of a nostalgia run kind of thing where they just try to be like, hey, remember how cool G4 was? Tech nerds in their 30s and 40s? It's just not going to have the same spirit that it used to.
Yeah, remember how cool G4 was, but now all the content that was on there you watch in 10-minute clips on YouTube and get a better experience, or... or Twitch, or yeah, any number of curated things where you just go and watch what you want to watch instead of having to, you know, wait for your show to come on whenever it feels like it. Which, yeah, it seems odd to have a tech TV network coming on
the cable. Oldest medium yeah. for video that is still existing outside of like reel to reel movies, which don't even really exist
right,
anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting and it'll probably crash and burn, but you know, somebody will enjoy it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, really what it seems, everything I've read on it, it kind of seems like it's people that have like tech YouTube shows essentially just doing a TV version of their YouTube show. But okay. why would I pay $100 a month for cable when I can watch it on YouTube?
Yeah, who is the audience?
Right,
you know, what people that still have cable are clamoring for this.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I mean, the cable TV audience is skewing older by the second.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about like G4 was cool in my 20s, you know,
right,
age.
Right.
I'm talking right. like 60s, 70s, 80s old.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the G4 audience is growing older by the second, but not that much.
No.
It's almost as though time progresses for everyone at a similar speed.
Yeah.
But one thing I did notice, because I tend to watch things with subtitles on, is whoever did the subtitles for this thing is squarely in Team Dub. Because they were awful.
Oh, really?
They were so awful and often not at all what was happening. And I don't even know. And it was off. You know, there would be a block where they were explaining something that was fairly important. And in the subtitles, all it was the same word repeated like 20 times. And it made no sense. It's like, okay, I'm glad I opted to watch this dubbed with subtitles instead of watching it in Japanese with subtitles, because I would have thought this was a fucking shit show if I had done that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I watched it in Japanese with subtitles. So.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, I did, because that's how I watch anime. I mean, it's just... Well,
maybe you should try watching it dubbed, because you get a lot more out of it.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I should.
Those portions where that guy just said... Where the bad guy is just saying the same thing over and over again, and you're like, okay, so he's an invalid, obviously. No. In the dubs, he's explaining shit.
Oh, well, okay,
yeah,
then.
Yeah. He's not the stupidest, you know, Incredible Hulk character just saying, you know, saying I am Groot over and over again. No, there was substance there.
Well, never mind. Yeah, so, maybe I will.
So it'll be rewatchable, because you'll actually get an understanding of what's happening.
Because I missed half the story because they screwed up on the subs. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just, that's how I watch anime. I think normally
that's what I do too, but for some reason I just felt like having some dubs. And I'm glad I did. And yeah, because the subs were painful to read if you were getting the dubbed audio.
Oh.
Apparently it wasn't that bad, but it seemed bad. When I was getting both.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Cause I mean, I don't know. Cause to me, if something is written for a specific language or a specific audience, like I should watch it in that language.
Yeah. I understand.
You know,
yeah.
Plus there is something, and this doesn't apply to anime, but there's something when somebody's mouth is moving one way and I hear something else that just messes with my brain and I don't like it. Like it causes me to tune out. And so I'd much rather just read the words coming across the screen.
And you know, I tend to agree with you. I prefer the original inflection, the original emotion put into the voices for 90% of things, it's not translated over properly in the dub. And sometimes it's a cultural thing where, you know, where the dub is done the way an American would say it and the emotion that the American would have, but it's a Japanese piece and it has a Japanese sensibility. And so it doesn't work directly with the feel of the piece.
Right, right. And I mean, for me, yeah. I have started this watching with anime, but it's translated over into like Japanese wrestling too. Like I never, in the days before, like the big Japanese wrestling promotion had like an American announce team that is just in residence there and they do everything. You know, uh-huh. I was happy. Everyone's like, oh, you can watch that in Japanese. Like, how do you know what they're saying? I don't need to know. Like, but I can get the emotion of what's going on from what they're saying.
Because how important is what's actually coming out of the Rock's mouth?
Right. I don't. Right. I've been watching, you know, that for 35 years, 36 years. I don't need to be told what's going on. I can see it. You know, what I want is the mood to be set. And you can do that without speaking a language that I perfectly understand.
You hear the guy yelling and he's saying the name of the other wrestler in an angry tone.
Right. Right,
you That's know he's really being, all you need to get out of it.
Right, he's being a dastardly bad guy. Like,
yes, yes,
he has no honor.
Yes, something about his ancestors. Okay, got it.
Yes, yeah. He cheated. He is an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not the funny cheating asshole, because there is one of
right,
those.
Right, right, right.
There is one dude who's like half his gimmick is he punches people in the dick and wins.
Yeah,
there you go. He's pretty great.
You wait until the ref is turned around, punch him in the dick, and you win. Yeah.
Well, that's it. Like, the whole point of the match is to figure out how he'll distract the ref this time so he can punch the guy in the dick and roll him up and win. It's a funny gimmick.
Because why wouldn't he? Yeah.
Right, yeah. Here's the thing, man. If I've been beating my body up for the last 20 years and I don't feel like doing it anymore, I'll come up with a gimmick where I just hit you in the dick and win. It's a lot easier on me. I don't have to get a crap kicked out of me every night. I just got to hit you in the dick.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, X-Men is one of these, it's a property that translates well. There's so many iterations, and they're very different in their delivery. And yet, it still works. You know, there's that 90s, the 90s series that you're watching with your wife, which is very campy, very, very late 80s, early 90s kind of feel to it. And then there's X-Men Evolution, which was a more down-to-earth, real, still cartoon. And then the movies, we have two different sets of movies with different feels to them, but it works. That's kind of a great thing, and speaks to, you know, kind of how well these characters are built and developed, and you know, the fact that there's, you know, 70 years of comics to draw from doesn't hurt that. But yeah, I mean, they're not two-dimensional characters, and it's very easy to adapt them to whatever style you're pushing out.
Yeah, it is. What's funny is the, you know, like you said, X-Men in general, very well written. The worst X-Men ever gets written is when they put it in a fucking movie theater, and I have no idea why. Like,
when we put millions of dollars into
right,
it.
Right, 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 right. You give a team of cartoonists, you know, and some, you know, regular old voice actors, the X-Men, and it's fantastic. You give them $500 million to make something for X-Men, and there's like a 50-50 shot. It's crap, and I don't understand it.
And it's like, okay, I get it. We like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine now. That's
yes,
fine.
Correct.
He did
Hugh
great
Jackman
in Logan.
Is Wolverine. Yeah.
But he's not Wolverine. He is not a good casting choice for that character, and never was. Because he's 6 foot fucking tall.
Right.
And Wolverine is 5'3", 5'5", if you're being generous. He's a little freaking stocky as hell, badass motherfucker. And that is not Hugh Jackman.
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. You know, the Wolverine we got in the theater is this kind of wiry, sinewy, you know, strong, but not the little stocky guy, you know, and the little stocky guy with a fucking chip on his shoulder because he's always been the little stocky guy.
Right, right. Like, everyone's like, oh, you know, why is Wolverine so insecure? He's 5'3". You ever met a 5'3 guy? Like, 90% chance they're super insecure about it.
Right. Because, you know, half the drill instructors in the Marine Corps are 5'3 guys.
Right.
You think that happens, you know, on accident? No.
Yeah.
Because they're really angry and they really want to yell in people's faces.
Right. Right. And because, I mean, and let's be honest, I know this from being married to someone who's 4'11". The world is not, listen, if you're under like 5'4", the world is not built for you.
Right.
You know, I just, at least America, America is not built for you.
Right. Yeah. Occasionally, you will get called into the kitchen to be the tall person who can reach that.
Yes. No, that's one thing that I, like, every time I come back to Atlanta, that's what I ask my wife before I leave. Hey, do you need me to go get anything down for you? Because I don't want you climbing up on the counters and stuff to get things off top shelves when I'm standing here.
Yes, I understand that that is one of the greatest things that I bring to my marriage.
Yes.
Is my ability to reach.
It might be the only thing for me, but you know what? It's valuable to her.
So. It is valuable, and as long as you keep doing it and do not complain, she might keep you around.
She just might. But yeah. Yeah, but and I agree. And the, yeah, I don't understand why X-Men movies aren't good.
Yeah.
I can't give you one reason why, though. X-Men failed to follow... Okay, so even when they were owned by Sony, they failed to follow
Fox.
They failed to follow Marvel's willingness to tell a story over multiple movies, if that makes sense.
Well,
like, when they tried to do X-Men Apocalypse, like, Apocalypse could be its own, like, six-movie run.
Yeah.
At the very least needed two, maybe three movies to fully flesh that out. Same with Dark Phoenix. You can't cram, like, 10 hours worth of content into a two-hour movie and expect it to be good.
Well, and the biggest problem with Fox's run of X-Men is they really wanted to tell the story of Jean Grey as the Phoenix. And that is not a good live-action movie story.
No.
And they never came to terms with that. They somehow understood that Days of Future Past is a good live-action movie story. But they never seemed to grasp because, well, I mean, A, you know, there is no cosmic space portion of the X-Men explored prior to trying to bring in the Phoenix.
Right.
And that is, you know, if you don't have things beyond Earth, then where did the Phoenix come from? They never try to even explain any of that, and it makes it very shallow and very, you know, it's just not that they're okay, they can make good X-Men movies, and they do. But when they go wrong, they go way wrong because they expect everyone to have this 50 years of comic book knowledge and not explain things. But
exactly.
And I mean, the first X-Men movie was an excellent movie, especially for when it was, because the only real big Superman, the only real big comic book movies up to that point were DC.
Right. And they were the Batman.
The early 80s Superman, and then the late 80s, early 90s Batman.
Yeah.
And X-Men, it was the first real positive Marvel comic movie.
Right. Right. And I'll agree with you there.
And then X2 was even better.
Yes.
And then they tried to do Dark Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah. And from there, it went downhill. And I mean, really.
But at least they understood that they went wrong and they tried to pump the brakes and start over, which was a good move.
Yes. Especially because, and I mean, their lead characters were aging out quick.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I love Sir Ian McKellen, but he's not... Like, he's in his mid-80s. Like, he doesn't need to be playing Magneto anymore.
But, you know, the way they... I mean, if you have Magneto as a Holocaust survivor, then, yeah, he does need to be that old.
Well, yeah, that's true. But maybe you shouldn't set the X-Men movies in current times anymore.
Right.
I mean, if only because the story is aging itself out. Like, if you're going to do something with the X-Men in the modern day, you're going to have to use the modern day X-Men. But the problem with that is you need movies for the previous X-Men, so you've got characters in them that people know. To set, you know, to me, instead of doing like Days of Futures Past, if they were going to recast everybody, you know, you take the X-Men characters that we know, and Patrick Stewart, and Ian McKellen, yada, yada, and you use that timeline to kind of phase them out, and then it kind of like what Marvel's doing, phase those guys out and phase in new people.
Which is why I kind of have hope for how Marvel will use the X properties.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that they will ever reboot the Fox X-Men into a modern setting. Because we may get New Mutants. We may get, you know, we may get X-Force. We may get all kinds of other ones. But and ones that should be modern day, but we may never get, we may get a historical X-Men movie possibly.
Here's the only danger with that: if you do a historical X-Men movie and they're facing like a true big bad, like a, you know, like an Apocalypse level guy, like, and there's, because when you face somebody like that, there is, you know, the catastrophic damage and the end game level of destruction.
Right.
Like, why did, you know, my question would be, well, why did nobody ever talk about that in the other 45 Marvel movies I've watched? Like, that's a major cataclysmic event in the history of the Earth. Why did nobody mention it?
Because, and we're setting this up right fucking now,
multiverse.
They may not have been in this universe.
That's true. That's true. If you shift Marvel over, if you Rick and Morty Marvel into a different multiverse, you can truly clean the slate.
Right. And the other option is, you know, the historical mutants never happened, and we start fresh with a completely new slate, and I'm not sure they go back to those original X-Men characters. Because the MCU isn't built on popular characters.
That's true.
It's not. Well, I mean, because the best thing that Marvel had was Spider-Man and the X-Men, and they didn't have the movie rights to that.
Because they knew what their valuable properties were when they needed money, and that's what they sold.
Right. And because, you know, for the last 15, 20 years, Iron Man is a big thing. Iron Man was not a big thing before that.
No, and I mean, Captain America wasn't either. He wasn't interesting in the same way that Superman isn't interesting, but what Marvel did a great job of was making him interesting.
Right.
Using primarily the movies.
Right. I mean, there's a reason that until Iron Man, they kept trying to make Hulk movies, because that was the most interesting thing that they had. Because they still had the rights to the Hulk. And there was a TV series in the 70s about it.
Right, right. There's people of a certain age that know the Hulk as Lou Ferrigno and the TV show.
Yes. May have been the 80s. I don't know. I watched it.
I watched it in syndication. I mean, it was on syndication all through the 90s.
Yeah. I mean, it was good and bad all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Yes. No, there is a campiness to that show that is fantastic.
Right. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, if they're gonna bring the Fantastic Four over, there's no other face of Fantastic Four that you can do. But mutants, they may just bring in and develop a new face to the mutants for the screen, you know, who are in the comics and have been developed in the comics, but a completely new face for the movies, so that they don't have to explain the cross references and how this fits and all of that. And they've, you know, Feige and Marvel and all of them, they have a good track record of building up characters from nothing.
That's true.
And making it where we feel like they've been iconic this whole time.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, they've done a good job of taking characters that have, at the very least, like, name recognition. You know, yeah. Like, I know who they are, but I never really read their backstory. And making them feel like, oh, no, these are the icons of comics. To the point where even I look and go, why did I never read about these guys? Like, why didn't I read a comic from them back in, you know, my comic book reading days of the 90s? It's because they weren't popular then.
Or possibly because we know they're bringing Deadpool 3 to the MCU.
Yes.
So maybe we just build out the X-Men off of the characters that have been in Deadpool movies.
Which would be fine. I mean, you Colossus is a he's a
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, I mean it.
So Colossus is Deadpool's perfect foil, so he needs to be wherever Deadpool is. Like, he is the best straight man for Deadpool. So.
I mean, and you know, if we go to X-Factor instead of X-Men, I'm okay with that. They'll probably still call it X-Men, but it does. You know, there are so many different iterations of X-Men and different ways that, you know, they've called them X-Force, X-Factor, X blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
They can call it whatever they want, but it's going to be X-Men on the big screen. That's what they're going to call it, because there's going to be that level... They can't just ignore that name recognition.
Right.
You know, when it comes to bringing them together. You know, we may start off with individual stories or small groups or something like that. And then when they come together as a large thing, it'll be X-Men, you know, something like that. You may end up with an X-Factor first. Or, you know.
X-Factor, X-Force.
Yeah, explore, you know, little New Mutants, you know. I haven't watched the New Mutants movie, so I don't know. But, yeah, they'd have to reboot that, I'm pretty sure.
They're going
to
have, yeah. I mean, so it had potential, but it just never got off the, like, it never got a second gear.
Yeah, yeah.
And that sucks, because, I mean, I had a lot of hopes, because they cast it, I thought they casted it pretty well. But it just wasn't the best written movie.
Yeah, well, and... But they, you know, but we don't know how it was written, because there were so many reshoots to try and rework it and fit it into whatever narrative Fox was thinking. And I mean, they have managed to show, you know, with Legion that they can do some other storylines with mutants.
Yeah.
Make them interesting.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And just occasionally get a peek at the more popular characters, because you get a glimpse of Charles Xavier in Legion, because it's the main character's father, but you don't get it fleshed out. You don't really, he's not a huge part of it. So, I mean, there are ways to do it, and it'll be interesting. The anime was well done.
The anime was very well done. Like, I would happily watch more of it.
Yeah, I guess there's a Wolverine anime that came before that.
And an Iron Man anime that came before it.
Yeah, but that's not X-Men.
No. But it's Marvel.
So I would definitely recommend the X-Men anime. I think Netflix actually, well, Netflix didn't do it, you said. They did, whoever made it did a good job. Don't think of it along the same lines as the other X-Men properties, and kind of think about it as, you know, you can do several interpretations of this property, and they are all equally good, and they are all equally relevant, and you know, and accept this voice, you know?
So, yeah, I'll agree. And it's one of those things where I think if you're a fan of, so, I mean, obviously, you know, there is a decent bit of overlap between fans of Marvel, you know, superheroes and fans of anime. But I really think it's like this one especially, and I'll watch the others and get a better opinion of them. But I really do think it's a thing where it's either if you're a fan of Marvel or anime, you will enjoy this. I think it is. I think it's accessible to both.
Oh, one thing I just remembered that I'd seen this. I saw that Big Hero 6, which is a Disney movie, was based off of a Japanese, a Marvel comic, which is a Japanese extension on X-Men.
Really?
So they could do a live action MCU Big Hero 6 movie, and I'm all for that.
You know what? It might be really good. Here's the thing. The last time that I thought, oh God, they're going to do this, this is going to be a disaster, it worked out great. That was Guardians of the Galaxy. So
like, that is the one live action remake of a Disney movie that I am 100% on board with.
What's bad is probably the last one they'd do. Well, maybe Wally. They probably wouldn't do Wally.
I mean, if they, well, I mean, that's Pixar, isn't it?
Oh, I think. I don't know. Yeah. I thought Disney owned Pixar. Do they not?
They do, but they keep them separate houses.
Oh, okay.
So they're technically different. Big Hero 6 is actually Disney Animation Studios.
Okay.
So that, I mean, that could be an interesting movie if they ever, you know, if they ever did it. Because, well, and that would be a group that wouldn't be on the radar of the rest of the MCU, because the rest of the MCU has been very Western based. So, you know, we haven't touched on what's happening in Japan in the MCU. So I don't know. They could do that and not have to explain too much.
That's true. I mean, boy, you want to talk about, you know, pulling in a younger audience, that would do it. But I mean, it would also, but here's the thing, it did come out 7 years ago though. So it would also be a thing where like those people are teenagers now and we go, oh yeah, Baymax, this is great.
Could you imagine it when they're the freaking black screen with shit popping up on it for what? Phase 6 is what we're looking at for next, and fucking Big Hero 6 pops up.
Oh yeah.
Can you imagine just the reaction? And I'm here for it. I am here for that shit.
Sure.
So
yeah, I'm for it.
That would be fun as hell. Yeah, Feige, you know. We know Hollywood listens. Occasionally they make our shit. Make this shit.
Let's do it. I mean,
Kevin Feige, we know you are in our tens of listeners. We know you are mining every word we say. Mine this shit.
So anyway, for transparency, my computer just stopped for no reason, and so now I'm having to get back on track.
Yes, well, that was Kevin Feige pulling our stuff so they can make the live-action Baymax movie.
Yes, they were listening, and they were like, no, we can't have anybody spoiling the Phase 6, because obviously they have seen our plans. So basically, watch this shit, watch everything except, except any X-Men movie with a Phoenix in it. And you know, they're all for the most part decent. Apocalypse was decent. It is not great. If nothing else, watch it for
Apocalypse is good, but it's rushed. I mean, it's not bad. It's just rushed.
Yeah. Should have been two or three movies.
Right. But, yeah. They killed the Thanos level character in 2 hours.
Exactly. Yeah. They didn't tease him out for 10 years. Like, you know, the MCU did. So anyway, okay. So next time, we're going to jump on Disney a little bit more, and we're not going to be as kind, on this next one. It's on Disney Plus. We're going to do Meet the Deedles.
Meet the what?
The Deedles, Deedles, which was, basically Disney jumping on a music craze and making a movie out of it. And it's as bad as you think it's going to be. And we're going to talk about it.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. So that'll be next time. I am at Woodle _ on Instagram and at Woodle on TikTok, even though I don't post anything. And you are?
My Instagram is I'm That Joe You Know.
And we will talk to y'all next time.